Hey guys, it's me, Theo Vaughn. Welcome back to my podcast. Today I'm going to have Donald Trump, Timothy Chalamet, Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, Jenner, Jenner Sauce, Jenner, and also I'm apolitical. So yeah, it's weird that Trump is the guest today, but I guess also why wouldn't he be? Like, why wouldn't I, Theo Vaughn, interview him? Anyway, hey guys, Merry fucking Christmas. This is coming out past Christmas. I don't know when this is coming out, but whenever I have a space to myself, and especially because it's the holidays, nothing's really going on, I want to record a solo pod to check in with all my little guys, girls, they, thems, and whatever else you guys are represented as. I love you guys, and I love you guys like family. So Merry Christmas, even if this comes out probably next summer, July 2027. I bought tickets to see Complete Unknown tonight for Christmas. That's my plans. I'm gonna go to the 4:30 showing, and it's the first day it's out. I'm actually really excited. Sorry, I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan. Sorry, I'm from Southern California, so I like music that like your dad would play for you after he hit you, and then he defined that as like a good relationship. So I'm very excited about the movie. And Timothy, I mean, who's not a fan of Timothy? I mean, Call Me By Your Name, Ratatouille, what else was he in? Oh, Fish Tales. That guy was so good in Fish Tales. I'm excited to go see the matinee. I had a beautiful walk with my beautiful girl, Bonnie. She's over there playing with a squirrel on the floor. Not a real squirrel. She fucking wishes. A fake squirrel, just a squirrel our mom got her from Petco, no problem. And then we got shout out Oliver downstairs, Brooke's cat. Shout out Brooke. This is Brooke's room. Brooke has been my friend since, It's 2025. We've been friends five. That's so cool that all my adult friends, we are all now becoming friends for a long period of time. Like, it's been 5 years. That's so crazy. Because, I mean, it is like family, truly. And her family's really there for me, too. Enzo, the sibling that I had on episode 3, that's their younger sibling. And, you know, I've stayed with them a lot of times, and it's kind of nice to, now that she has a cat, it's kind of nice to watch her, because I'd come, like, stay, and I also just love staying with my friends, because it's not like I'm with, my hair looks so fucking trash. I hate when it does that, but I guess I could just get brown hair dye. Man, I hate when it looks skunky. Like, I know that it's in or whatever, but I just, like, don't identify as a skunk. I honestly just wish. I mean, the pigment's almost out of my hair. Because I'm gonna stop dyeing it after that. It's such a bitch and a half. Oh, I was just thinking about how when I used to bleach my hair. I just want to tell you guys that you guys totally don't have to do any of that. Brooke has blue hair, and so she bleaches it and keeps it blue, and I've never, like, seen her roots before. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, she was sort of born with blue hair, blue pubes, etc., etc. I've literally never seen her roots before. That's crazy. What a psycho. Because that shit takes up so much time, and if you're not doing it yourself, money, but if you are doing it yourself, you kind of hate yourself a little bit because every time you kind of do it a little wrong. Hey, maybe I'm just speaking on personal experience because I fried the fucking shit out of my head, but that is kind of like the declaration of moving to Bushwick is bleaching your own hair, having like yellow, damaged, choppy, gross little Bushwick hair for at least a couple years until you admit that, like, yeah, you should probably be in a queer relationship and stop seeking out heteronormativity because it's not you. But man, do you crave a daddy. I think both things can exist. I think I can be a queer baddie and a queer daddy and have a queer daddy. Like, my friend Eric, he's gay and he's, like, my daddy, I feel. I think the problem is it's just, like, sometimes, you know, I saw a comment about the 4B movement or, like, becoming, decentering men from our lives, and it's not about actually being like, all my thoughts and actions are suddenly changed one day and now I don't crave the approval of men, because one, it's just unrealistic. That's never gonna happen. Of course you're gonna need to crave the approval of men too, as like a survival tactic, because unfortunately, shout out to you straight men, I love what you guys are doing to this country, but seriously, it's bad, and you guys should like really be gentle with yourselves. Me talking to myself actually right now, I'm like, I need this pep talk. Kylie, be gentle to yourself, okay, Kylie? Kylie, I just need you to be gentle to yourself right now, okay? It's not your fault that all that stuff happened. I like can't tell if I'm gonna laugh or I'm gonna cry because trigger warning. To be honest, I woke up this morning on Christmas morning, thank you Jesus Christ, and you know, remember quite a lot of nightmares from last night that were very rooted in the sexual trauma, and like I actually felt like when I was sleeping, and this sometimes, I sometimes feel this way, I've been struggling with night terrors and PTSD episodes that are mostly, you know, very nighttime activated. I used to have sleep paralysis. When I was a kid, I'd wake up screaming every morning. Like, I become sleep deprived as well. Luckily, I have medication that they prescribe me with to help me with this. I think it's like, there's one that helps you with your dreams, like stops your dreams, which I'm like, it feels like birth control. I'm like, I mean, yeah, it'd be convenient, but it just feels like we shouldn't do that to our body. And also it didn't work for me. So I'm not on that. I have like a sleeping, like prescribed medication from my psychiatrist to help me like keep asleep. Oh, those deep sleeps are the best. It's just hard to get up in the morning because you're like a little drowsy. Like you literally, I'm like blackout. I'm like, it's the best sleep. But sometimes I can't do that when I like have to like be a person early in the morning. The CPTSD patches, I forget what kind of patch it is, but I'll mention it in the description. My psychiatrist prescribed it to me specifically for episodes, and I just requested more of them because I was using them like hotcakes, giving free hotcakes out on the street. They worked so good. I loved it. She knows that I'm a stoner, like I'm pretty honest about it, and definitely processing like a lot of my disassociation, because I think for me that's really the main thing. It's really hard. I'm sorry. I'm like processing a lot right now. You know, and it's not, I know this isn't like bad to do this. I need this. Like I need this so bad because I didn't know what was happening or how to talk about it for so long, you know, and now I know what's happening, and I have people around me, like medical professionals, example, like assuring me that this is like a trauma response, and so I feel like part of the heavy feelings nowadays is things come late into processing, and so I also sort of grieve and mourn the like the closeness I once had with my body and mind. I'm really proud of my relationship with my body and my mind. I feel like it I just really feel like for so long for so long I didn't know that there was a better life outside of feeling like I'm drowning and I don't know left from right, because I was a child in a home that didn't keep me safe, didn't make me feel loved. And really just didn't make me comfortable. And so, when you're uncomfortable all the time, you become uncomfortable in your own skin. And that's why, like, talking about it through comedy, doing something that's really rooted in who I am, being, like, a silly fucking bitch, and also witty and intelligent in a more creative way than I could imagine. Talking about this, I would have never, like, as a kid thought I'm gonna talk about this through stand-up, but it just, you know, it just happened to be, and I became obsessed with it, and it really feels like the language that makes the most sense to me. I did a show in Chapel Hill, North Carolina the other night, and it was like a really like, you know, there weren't a lot of people there. And I just was hopping on the show because I went to visit my friend Allie, and I wasn't planning to do stand-up, but, you know, I'm addicted to it. So I hit up a friend, and he was having a show and had me on, and there weren't many people, but there were at least, like, 7 femme young people in the audience. And when I got on stage and I was just me sharing, like, my experiences, my humor, without, like, having to filter through or, like, wonder if anyone is perceiving me the right way or understanding me the right way, because whatever I do on stage always feels like I'm so present when I'm good at it. When I'm good, I'm present and I'm there and I'm quick and it's like meditation. I'm in the zone. Like, I'm just focusing on that. And, like, being loud and smart and dark and witty, it allows you to commit to who you are. Because if I'm not committing to who I am up there, why would you listen to me for 20 minutes to 2 hours? Because who wants to watch a person that's not committed to what they're saying? Put down the fucking mic if you feel that way. And, you know, in my stand-up, I don't talk much about being a childhood abuse survivor, because I do feel like it's just not, like, a topic that I have, like, tons of jokes about. I have one joke where I'm like, I came from an abusive household when I was a child, but don't be sad, like, I was a really annoying kid, because it's just like a silly little joke to prove, like, how ridiculous this all is, right? It's just so fucking ridiculous. And also, you know, having that perspective now and putting my own spin on it, I feel like empowers, like, it's telling everyone in the audience, yeah, I'm fucking funny and I'm fucking smart and I know. Like, I'm getting to the punchline before you get to the punchline. Whew, I didn't expect to get so emotional today, honestly. I guess, just, like, Christmas. I'm Jewish, what? Okay, mama. I think a lot is coming up for me because I was in North Carolina with my best friend Allie, and I just got to New York last night. I'm cat sitting for Brooke, and then I'll be dog sitting, and I'm also doing shows out here. And I'm coming back to these places, and I'm reconnecting with the lives and connections I have here. And I think one of them was, like, I dated a man for 8 months, and I think the first 6 months of the relationship was, like, very beautiful. And just, I felt so loved. Like, this man fucking loved me. He would show up at my house. Very convoluted, but at this time, I lived in Atlanta for, like, 8 months, basically with this guy, but we were, like, in separate rooms. I couldn't afford to move back to New York after my tour, and so while I was, like, saving up for, like, an apartment, I was like, I'll get a really cheap ass room in Atlanta and just, you know, tour and work out of there, and I'll date this man that I was falling in love with, and I said I love you to him on the phone before we even touched. Wow, Kylie. I mean, I've fallen in love quite a bit. And when people are like, have you ever been in love? And I always want to say no. Maybe it's because I'm a pessimist. I'm like, I don't know what love is. But I totally do know what love is. And I know that they're always going to feel super different, too, because, like, for example, this relationship really fed a part of me that I think needed feeding. He was hungry. He, you know, showed up with flowers to my door all the time. He'd leave notes on my car with, like, ooshy-gooshy things. He'd come visit me at work and just tell me that I was beautiful. Like, he was obsessed with me. And I loved that, obviously. And also, I was obsessed with him. Like, he was just, like, so sweet and cute and also made me laugh, but, like, ultimately had really intense mental health issues such as someone like me does. But I think it just started to feel with him, like, super lonely because he was very isolated and, you know, one of those boyfriends you take out and you're like, hey, be good for my friends. And I just, honestly, I can't do that because this is my fucking personality, you know? And I have, like, a lot of people in my life that have done me fucking awesome, and I love with a burning heart, and have become family to me and Bonnie, and I, like, want someone that, like, embraces that with me and not saying, like, oh, I want a relationship with her with me all the time and always hanging out with all my friends, whatever. No. I'm not saying that. I actually want to be quite separate a lot of the time, honestly, hoping for a long distance relationship. just kidding. I don't wish that on my greatest enemy, but also I don't wish them being on this. I am so, like, I am like a closeted polyamorous person. Fuck, I said it. Like, I don't think that's what I'm gonna do my entire life or anything like that, but I mean, right now I'm, like, living in the van and always traveling and in different places, always meeting different people. And when I was saying, like, love means a lot of different things to me, is, like, I've shared lots of different kinds of love. Like, with this man, he, like, fed the being taken care of, like, loves me type. I don't know, I had, like a kink where I really, like, loved the idea of him putting a baby in me, but only during sexual time, you know?
I don't know why it's so hot. Maybe it's biological stuff, okay? Sorry. I don't actually want a fucking kid. So that was dope. I've been in love with a really awesome woman who was so cool and so hot, and she ultimately ended up with a man, so there's that. But, like, I've had, like, gentle loves, I've had, like, intense, passionate loves, I've had silly loves, I've had, like, really deep, and I feel like I was just sort of in love with a friend, and he and I just, like, get each other like that, and we didn't really have the sex life. It wasn't gonna work out, just at different places, you know? Like, I'm surrounded by my best friends who are all in the queer community, and all, like, we would all buy a ball gag, like, on a Sunday morning together. Like, everything's chill. And some people were born in Minnesota, okay? So there's not a lot you can do with that. And you could just let people figure shit out themselves on their own time. That is such a good thing I've learned, honestly. Because when is forcing something ever worked for the situation? It is so exhausting for the other person. Like, if I were to pursue a relationship where someone is, like, really not accepting of themselves and, like, has a lot of shame about sex, I've learned that I just can't do that, because the shame starts to rub off on me. Because, I mean, how can it not? If two people are being intimate and you're naked and it's like this kind of thing you don't do with everyone, and then they have like some weird shame around that, you start to be like, maybe my body is shameful. Maybe what we do is shameful. Oh, I'm thinking about, like, what do I do next? Like, and then I'm not even present, and so sex isn't really, like, awesome unless it's just, like, dominoes falling. One thing after the other, like, natural movement. You don't have to think about the next step. And also, that is why the other night, after my show, where I got to vibe with all those awesome femme people in North Carolina, one of them after the show, her name is Viper, shout out, she is so cool, and she was at the show with her friend, and they ended up coming to the bar that we all hung out at after, and we had karaoke, and we did karaoke, and it was so fun. And then I found out that Viper's based in Los Angeles, and I was like, no way, I'm kind of out there, like, my band's out there, and I'm going back. And I thought she was really cute, and I thought she was so cool. She was, like, filming me during karaoke and being like, yes, yes, and she's like, I fucking love you, bitch. Like, her energy was just amazing. And I was like, we should, like, hang out in that way, and also in the other way, if you don't want that way. And she's like, no, I'd like that way, and I'm like, that's awesome. And we hung out all night, and she was really cute, and we kissed, and it was so fun and so cool. And yeah, and I was like, okay, when I get back to LA, let's, like, go out together. Because, you know, even if I'm not a traditionalist who is courting someone to be in a forever monogamous relationship, at this point in my life, I am 24, and, you know, I have had quite a different path than other people my age. But where I am now in my life, I have realized that with my sexual trauma, with my PTSD, with everything I know about my own sexuality and personality in the bedroom, I know that sex with strangers is, like, not my favorite thing. And even though, like, you can feel like you know someone in a night, or, like, just have a really good energy, and that can be very fun, I know even if I take it to a step where, not even the sex part, just, like, going home with someone, or,
like, sleepovers, I think sleepovers are tough. Because, like, I want that eventually once I know the person, but I don't know. I always feel, I think, like, there's maybe some trauma there, too. Like, I was dating this guy one time, or I've seen this guy one time, and, you know, he'd always just make me feel like, why was I there in the morning? Like, on his phone, and just being, like, looking over. I was like, what? Like, I don't know. It just made me feel awkward that I always want to feel like if I enter someone's home that, like, they really want me to be there. And I really want to be there and feel, like, comfortable being in their space. And vice versa. I think, like, your space is sacred and you don't need to, like, take on a chance where it could be, like, a bad memory in your space. I don't know. That's kind of how I'm viewing it. The last person that I had sex with that was essentially a stranger was this guy from Hinge. And it was fine. It was just, like, I knew that, like, I didn't really need to have sex. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, it was consensual and I was, like, dope. Like, that was, it happened. It was sex. It was good. It wasn't great. But when is it ever great? No, it can be great sometimes. But that's, like, when is it ever great the first time you just went on a Hinge date? And I don't really drink, so I don't know if you guys are having, like, this awesome drunk fucking sex, but probably not. You guys are probably having horrible sex. But I'm so present that I'm, like, if they're even the slightest bit awkward and we don't have that dialogue back and forth where I can, like, make a joke or call something awkward out, then I don't want to do it. Like, oh my god. Like, I don't want to queef in front of a stranger. There's nothing wrong with queefing, but I just don't. If we don't have a rapport, I'm not queefing. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. If we don't have a rapport, I'm not queefing. Yeah, so, you know, we parted ways at the end of the night, which is, you know, sex was, I don't just, like, assume sex is on the table. I assume sometimes if you're having a good time with someone that you're, like, there's the option of continue hanging out. And I knew that I was, like, I have to go to the airport tomorrow and, like, take care of Bonnie. And I know if I mess with my night schedule, morning schedule, and don't stick to my routine, I fuck myself over. But then I feel like I do that a lot when I'm seeing someone. I'm just like, well, I'm living in the present and, like, we're having fun, so let me just go with the flow. But then I'm, like, kind of neglecting my own little corner of life. And I think we should always have our little corner of life, even when we bring other people we love into our life. I think anyone that's in my life really understands and respects that our relationship is very important, whether it's, like, friends or romantic. But I'm kind of more talking about friends at this point. Or just, you know, like, lovers turn friends, whatever. Whatever, I'm chill. if you're in my life, you know that, you know about my past, and you know, how it affects my present. You also know that I've never been good at staying in one place, or kind of, like, being in constant routine. Like, no one knows where to find me, but also nobody's, like, concerned. Like, my relationships are always maintained, and while that might look different for, like, a normal person with, like, a stable job and location, my relationships just work in beautifully different ways. And I think to know me is to know that I require at this time in my life a lot of physical space. Like, just being alone is super important for me because I'm still processing and going through so much emotionally, and I want to make sure that when I am present with people that I'm there and I'm rested, and I know you can, like, people are like, just be, you can just be with me, like, you don't have to be a certain way, and I'm like, I just don't want to be in front of people unless I'm comfortable with them, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, especially with a career like comedy. Like, I think I was of the contradiction in between these two for a while of, you can just be, you don't have to, like, perform for anyone, like, whatever state you're in, you don't have to apologize. But then also there is, like, professionalism, and if I am, like, this entertainer, like, I don't know, you can't just, like, unless you're fucking famous or, like, Chapel Run, you can't just be like, I don't want to do this right now, you know? So I do want to save time for representing me best. And I know with my close people, I can be whenever I want, whoever I want, whatever I want. yeah, but I think I need to, like, just step out in the sun with my dog and sort of think about all of this too. Because I think it's just a lot, especially when I'm processing it in my own sleep. You know, I wake up and I'm sort of smacked in the face with reality of, that wasn't real, but it was. Some of those feelings were real. Even if I didn't get the scene right of what happened in my own life, like, for example, my dad, I still got the feeling right in the dream too. Like, I woke up with that feeling. Shame, disgust, confusion, anger. A huge desperation of why, you know, like, why become a parent if that's how you're gonna love your kid? Why become a parent if you don't want to be there for the hard stuff? I feel like you don't get the good stuff. Like, with any relationship, you don't just get the good stuff, you get the bad stuff too. And I think, like, someone like my mom just really, really, really wants to be there. And I know she never could be there in the way that I need. And it wouldn't feel good to have her come around and get to be around me with everything I've worked through. And I don't know, at the end of the day, it's really, 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 really about who's actively trying to be a better person, trying to make sense of it all, into processing it, into shitty coping mechanisms, and being real about that. It's all being real about it. Back to what we were initially talking about craving men's approval, like, part of it is admitting that these are the things you came from. You were taught to impress men, to, every time you're in a room, you want to make sure the men are approving of you, and it's fucking bullshit. But, I mean, I can't say that when I walk into a room, I don't love attention from men and queer people. Two things can be true at the same time. But it's we start with being honest. And being honest about it is all the sort of problems, right? So let's start being honest together. I don't know. Honestly, I want to end up with a woman. Honestly, I'm scared that I'll end up with a man. honestly, I'm scared I'll end up alone. Honestly, I'm scared that I won't end up alone. Yeah, that's freaky. I love being alone, and I can't really imagine my life being different, but then also, like, there is this other part of life that you could take advantage of that I know brings fulfillment in different ways. I think I just maybe am not completely ready for anything life-changing, but I'm certainly open to finding the love, like the loves I've experienced in the past, and knowing that I can love in different ways. Like you guys will see in the Allie episode, me and Allie love the fuck out of each other. And it's in such a different way that I've ever loved anybody. And we might not kiss, but we are like way more emotionally intimate than like, you know. It's just, I love that too. Cause she's my family. And I'm really, really grateful for all the people that I've let in to love me and that they've let me in to love. That makes me happy. Merry Christmas. Subscribe to the Patreon. Like, subscribe, push the pod, comment. Whatever. I love all of you individually in a unique way, a sliding scale. And I'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening to me. And I'm probably gonna like go journal and I wanna hear you guys' thoughts. So let me know in the comments.